Here's your WZFG 3-day forecast from weatherology.com. For today, mostly sunny skies, mid-80s. Winds will be from the northwest between 5 and 10. Tonight, increasing clouds, showers, and thunderstorms likely, mainly overnight, mid-60s. For tomorrow, partly sunny. We'll continue with scattered showers and thunderstorms, lower 80s. Tomorrow night, clear, and Sunday, sunny at 86. From the Flag Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford on AM 1100, The Flag. Right now, it's 66.
Now more than ever, it's important to keep your car clean inside and out. Don's Car Wash has taken extra precautions to keep customers and employees safe. Employees are wearing masks and sanitizing in between each vehicle and taking safeguards inside as well. Don's Car Wash is in Fargo.
White or wheat, classic or old-fashioned, with or without sesame seeds. With so many choices, selecting the right bun for your super-duper, top-secret recipe, handcrafted, home-grilled burger can seem overwhelming. But relax, the bakers at Village Hearth have made it easy. As long as you see the familiar Village Hearth logo on your package, your grilling cookout's bound to be a huge success. Unless, that is, your unwanted relatives show up, then there's no bun on earth that can save it. Village Hearth Buns, baking our best for you.
Hey, you.
Hello, I'm talking to you.
Snap out of it.
You've been staring, thinking, even talking about a remodel to your kitchen or your bathroom forever. Now it's finally time to act on it with the help of the professionals at Broughton Cabinets. Summer is the perfect time to get going on this project and get it done. No matter the size or budget, Broughton Cabinets can create a fresh space. The Broughton Promise, quality that stays on budget. Now snap to it. Give a call or go online at broughtoncabinets.com.
This is the story of one man's incredible journey from crack addict to CEO and his mission to help others. Having appeared on TV more than 2 million times and selling more than 40 million MyPillows, now Mike shares his incredible story of addiction, divine intervention, and hope. In his new memoir, What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO. Learn how Mike's 14 near-death experiences and heavy crack addiction led him from a place of total darkness into the light. Mike's personal stories of transformation remind us that with faith, all things are possible.
Order Mike Lundell's book, What Are the Odds, today and get a $25 gift card absolutely free from MyPillow. That's right. Buy the book, get a $25 MyPillow certificate. Check out all the deals at MyPillow.com. Use the promo code Scott after clicking on Radio Listener Specials. Or call 800-506-9028 or MyPillow.com.
At Don's Car Wash on 52nd Avenue, you can have a zero-contact car wash, and with extra precautions taken inside to protect customers and employees, you can feel safe getting fuel, snacks, or a beverage as well. Enjoy driving in a nice, clean vehicle again. Go to Don's Car Wash in Fargo.
It's the virtual meetup you can actually depend on.
Well, I need to know.
I need to know what happened.
Updates at the top of the hour, and when it breaks, on your talk station, The Flag.
Folks, to another edition of What's on Your Mind. Hi, everybody. I am Scott Hennon. We're going to talk with Sanford Health's infectious disease physician, Dr. Avish Nagpal, on the program today. Have you heard about this rumor related to a test shortage? We don't have enough tests. Fake news. That's what it is. Hashtag fake news. And we'll find out about that for you today. Also, remember when somebody said you can't let the cure be worse than a disease related to COVID? I believe that somebody was Donald J. Trump, President of the United States, quite some time ago in the middle of this. Well, there are a lot of examples of that and how that's come to fruition. One of which is people who don't go to the doctor when they have a little of this or a little of that. You know, like the chest pain or, you know, whatever. And it is now becoming a huge issue
people that put off elective surgeries, putting off the dangers of, you know, putting off a doctor's visit. These things can, they can creep up. So we're going to talk with him about that today on the program. Okay? We are going to chat with Governor Doug Burgum on the program today. Governor Burgum is joining us next hour. We'll talk with him about a lot of things not related to COVID, but impacted by COVID, like our economy, like the Dakota Access Pipeline. Here's an example of that COVID connection. So the actual decision by the judge to shut down the Dakota Access Pipeline within 30 days and do a full environmental impact statement really doesn't have anything to do with COVID. But what has to do with COVID is the fact that there was a lack of demand in this country for oil because, you know, airlines were shut down, people didn't travel. So obviously wells were shut in. Well, the price of oil is coming back and the supplies are diminishing. Full demand isn't back, but the oil industry is starting to come back from the COVID debate. Well, guess what? That takes money. That takes capital investment. So if Kevin has a lot of money, which he does, whole lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
And I come to Kevin and say, Kevin, I have a history in this oil business. Here's what I've done. If I take your money and invest in this, here's what you'll get in return. He says, go for it. And you're ready to go. You're ready to light it up and get going. And then a judge does what he does with the Dakota Access Pipeline, and 500,000 barrels a day could be shut off. Now Kevin calls back and goes, hey, how are you going to get that oil to market?
Yeah.
You don't have that anymore. Oh, we're going to do it on rail. Well, how much is it going to cost to do it on rail? Well, about $5 more a barrel. Some say $10 more a barrel. Guess what? Your numbers don't pencil out anymore. I'm not giving you the money. Shuts off the capital, shuts off the development. We cannot, and I repeat, cannot let that happen. That is probably the most important thing right now to North Dakota's economy. Is getting that judge's order fixed. I have a thought on how to do it. I don't know if I should say it because I probably would make it less likely that it would happen. Make it somebody else's idea. I don't know. But we're going to talk about that today. And also, should kids be back in school? President Trump is pushing hard on this. Pushing hard. For sure. Also, Senator Kevin Cramer will be here for the Talk Radio Town Hall for a full hour. So, we have that and more on the program today. Also, do you like to golf? Do you like to golf at the Teddy Roosevelt Medora golf course known as Bully Pulpit?
I you know what? I don't golf as much as I used to, but if I was to go golfing, that would be a top pick.
See, I'm a horrible golfer. I mean horrible. I mean like when I'm up at the tee box, run for your life. Get a helmet on, okay? That's how bad I am. It's not enjoyable to me.
Remain behind the shooter.
Right. But you know what? I've been out there with the kids. I let them play and I drive the cart and I just soak in all the beauty.
It's beautiful.
Just being out there is incredible. Incredible. So it's the one place I have golfed, even though I'm horrible. And every once in a while, what's weird with me, I get up in the tee box and I'll kind of do everything right, you know, thumb right there on the shaft and, you know, feet aligned and, you know, your back a little ways and head on the ball and, you know, doing all the things supposed to do. And I'll take the swing, come back and I'll hit the ball and it'll be, you know, 220 yards dead perfect down in the middle, right?
Yep.
Then I'll come back next shot and I'll do the exact same thing. Tee box back, exact same thing. Everything's the thumb there, the shaft, the feet, the whole thing, eye on the ball, the whole deal. I'll come back and it will like go 5 yards.
Welcome to golfing. Welcome to golf.
This is not fun to me.
I did the same thing.
I don't enjoy this.
I know.
Anyway, we have passes for a couple of rounds of golf at Bully Pulpit for folks that send us videos about Teddy Roosevelt. Now, let me explain. First of all, you know the selfie, right? The selfie is, where you take a photo. We want a selfie video. So you're filming yourself, okay? And you push record on that. You're on camera. And, you know, show us your surroundings, where you're at. Hey, it's Kevin. Here's what I'm doing here. I'm out on the farm. Look at that beautiful canola, whatever it is, right? And you say, hey, Teddy Roosevelt, he inspires me every day because he talked about getting in the arena, and that's what I do. I'm in the arena. And to think we're going to have the premier institution of all things Teddy Roosevelt, of all of his artifacts, of all of his papers, the museum with things on display that there are only 19 of in the world. This actually would be one of 19. Only 18 others now. One of 19 in the world. How about that?
Wow.
Pretty amazing. Yeah. Teddy Roosevelt National Park, the presidential library in his name. So what am I asking of you is a video to tell me what you love about Teddy Roosevelt, because I'm excited about this. I want to get other people excited about this and thinking about Teddy Roosevelt, thinking about this park coming, and also what you think about it being in the park in his name. So what do you love about Teddy Roosevelt? What do you love about bringing this library to the park? Send me that video at 701-367-2054 or email studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. You can email me, Scott H., at flagfamily.com. And the prizes are a pair of passes for the Teddy Roosevelt National Park or four tickets to the musical. About the same value on those between the two. It's whatever you prefer. Okay? Send them in. Got a great one from Mandaree, North Dakota this morning. Fantastic. A guy who said, you know, I don't know much about Teddy Roosevelt. I want to know more. It'd be great to have that in the park and be able to make that connection. So that's what we'll do today on the program. Okay? All right. I want to tell you about a great homegrown company, Advanced Business Methods. That's the place we go when we need an upgrade on our copiers, our printers, our office equipment. They're employee-owned, based right here, and that means your money stays in the community. Now, today's printers are really high-end computers. They have the data and the analytics so you can track usage, tell you how to save money on that job, who's printing what. Did you know hackers can get into your servers through your printers? Something you need to be aware of. At Advanced Business Methods, they actually understand the security risk better than anyone and can set up encryption and firewalls to keep the outside world out. They're coming up on their 50th anniversary. That's right, 50 years of serving the business community with the best products, the best service you'll find anywhere. Locations in West Fargo, Bismarck, Grand Forks, Minot, and Dickinson. Go online to find out more about them at abmnow.com. abmnow.com. All right, take a break. Come back with more, including Sanford Health infectious disease physician, for a few answers on the COVID fight front next.
To What's On Your Mind, brought to you by our friends at Chose Investments, KJOSinvestments.com. You won't find a better team. And we are talking commercial land development, sales, leasing, building, through the process, the design, all of it more at KJOSinvestments.com. ChoseInvestments.com. They make great roommates, too.
Over 40 years they've been at it.
I love those guys down there. And the gals.
Saw Monty Chose this morning. I'm not sure there's a greater human being walking the earth.
He's just a great guy.
An incredible man. Hardworking guy here, bright and early. Last one to leave. Just amazing. Dr. Avish Nagpal is here. He is with Sanford Health, infectious disease physician there. Dr. Nagpal, nice to have you back on the program. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Good. Thanks for being here. First thing I want to ask you is a little bit about, I believe, a rumor, but nonetheless, you know, talk of a shortage of tests. The North Dakota strategy on combating COVID-19 has largely been, you know, making sure there's a robust testing. And so when you hear about test shortages, you say, whoa, wait a minute here. Is there a test shortage?
Absolutely not. I think we are in a very good place right now. We have a lot of testing capacity in-house here at Sanford across multiple platforms. And on top of that, North Dakota Department of Health can conduct thousands of tests a day, as they have been doing. So we are not facing any kind of test shortage right now. I think the concern may have been coming from the reports that you're hearing from places where there are significant number of COVID cases right now, and they have had to expand their testing capacity quite a bit, specifically the southern and the western states, where the cases are rising very quickly, and they are seeing up to 10,000 cases a day. So that's where, when that happens, you can have testing shortage. But as of right now, we don't have that problem. We don't. We do anticipate our case numbers to rise, and we are prepared for that, and we don't anticipate testing shortages in the near future anyway.
Let's talk a little bit about where we're at with COVID-19 since we last talked. When we watched, talked about, what to watch for, how to mitigate the spread. We've seemingly had a ton of additional information on, I guess the one that sticks with me is the CDC, discussion of the best, sounds like the wrong word to use here, but the strongest chance to transmit it or get it. If I have it, if I'm standing in close proximity to you for 10 minutes or more. Very different than the initial concern of it's on surfaces, it lasts multiple days, everything else. What are you grabbing onto in the latest guidance of what we do know about COVID that you want people to know?
Yeah, I think you pretty much mentioned all the points there. Close proximity, indoors, a greater contact time, symptomatic, pre-symptomatic people, sometimes asymptomatic people as well. We have discovered and are a little bit more confident that it doesn't spread from surfaces as much as we had initially suspected. I'm sure there is a little bit of transmission that occurs that way, but the majority of cases will occur from person-to-person transmission when people are in close proximity, especially indoors, where the ventilation might not be as good. And the other issue with this virus is what hampers our usual contact tracing and public health investigations is that asymptomatic spread can happen, or pre-symptomatic, which means that people who don't have symptoms, or even before they develop the symptoms, they can spread the virus from one person to another. So that makes it a little challenging to do the proper contact tracing and see how the virus is spreading its net. That's been the major challenge, but regardless, the answer to that is more testing, as we have been doing. So we are encouraging everybody who has had any kind of symptoms, however mild, to get tested. That's how we will know where the infection is, where the outbreaks are, and we can trace more people, separate them, and ask them to make themselves stay at home. And that's how we can control the spread of the virus.
What are you seeing most often in the way of symptoms these days? What are people coming in with? We've heard everything from losing some tea to a sore throat to what are most people that are coming in saying they have that leads them to believe they need a test that then you find out in fact is positive?
Yeah, respiratory symptoms are still the most common: runny nose, sore throat, loss of taste or smell, fever, feeling run down, and more recently CDC has added some nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea symptoms too. But predominantly, most of the people who do get the infection typically have respiratory symptoms, and for more severe forms of disease, they can get shortness of breath too. But cough, sore throat, runny nose, fever, body aches are the most common ones.
As we're on a path to getting a handle on this and ultimately getting a vaccine, North Dakota is an example, on a trajectory down, things looking pretty good. Around the country, some major spikes, nothing like that here, but there were spikes. There are more numbers. I think at a low had 19 people in the hospital, or 15, I forget, and we're at 30 now. Does this spike alarm you? Is this fair to call it a spike? How do you assess what's happening now in North Dakota?
So I think Over the next few days, our cases will increase. We typically lag behind the rest of the country by a couple weeks. So I'm not surprised that our case numbers are going up again. I expect them to go up a little bit more too. And this is attributable to the businesses opening up again, people traveling again. And currently there are no travel restrictions. So we will see some imported cases too from places which are seeing a spike again. So this is something that we expected. It's actually a little bit more than what we expected, but we have been preparing for it. The other issue is people stay more indoors during summers in the southern states. We stay more outdoors. So hopefully we will not see as much of a spike, but, you know, a hope is not a plan. We plan to prepare for more cases coming in, and, you know, we never rolled back any of our preparations that we put in for testing and increasing hospital capacity and equipment and personnel to take care of patients. So we do expect more cases. We do expect more hospitalizations, and we think we are in a good place right now with whatever tools we have right now. Of course, vaccine would be ideal. There are many candidate vaccines in the field right now. I'm kind of hoping for some antiviral or anti-inflammatory treatments to be available too, or at least start getting into clinical trials over the next couple months here, 3 months. And between all of that, I think we'll eventually get a handle on this and return to some semblance of a normal life here.
That would be very welcome. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Do you, you mentioned the clinical trial process. When do you expect to say, you know, here, Dr. Nagpal, is the drug? Here's the vaccine. Here's the, you know, the therapy that can help you. When do you expect to see that?
So vaccine, I don't anticipate seeing anything this year, hopefully early next year. Many different vaccine candidates are out there. They are entering phase two trials now. And then that's followed by a phase three, which is a larger group of people in which you make sure that the vaccine is safe and effective. And then, of course, there's the regulatory pathway where the vaccine has to be approved, following which there is the issue of large-scale manufacturing and distribution and looking at who gets it first. So still a lot of work to do, but, you know, things are looking promising for vaccines to be available early next year. Of course, you can't predict the future. You can't predict how well the vaccine will work or not work. So those are things that that we'll have to wait and see. But at least there are multiple candidates, so at least one or two of them should be available by early next year.
And I'm looking at, in the meantime, 4,070 positive cases in North Dakota, 3,400 totally recovered. Now, from that, just 85 deaths, just 30 people in the hospital. I'm saying, even with the spike, some younger people are getting this. They're going to be able to weather that. This is not a crisis that should have people hunkered down in their homes unless they have some pre-existing condition. Most of us can go about our lives just being smart, can we?
Yeah, so, you know, the rolling back business, asking the businesses to close again, telling people to hunker down and be in their homes are not very feasible and practical at this point in time. I think our community has suffered enough. It would be very difficult to roll back the business openings. So I think we have to take measures on an individual level and as a society and take responsibility to reduce the spread. And this can be very easy in the form of, you know, if you have to meet friends or family, try to meet them outdoors. Don't do large gatherings indoors. Wear a mask. Maintain social distance. Arrange for people to have access to, you know, hand hygiene. Whether be it in the form of washing their hands frequently in a designated place or providing them with hand sanitizer at a place that's easily accessible.
And most of this stuff, so I think, those are the tools pretty well known now. Only a few seconds for this answer because we do need to go. My last question, should schools reopen with the proper protection? Should we get kids back in school this fall?
You know, So that's a hard decision, and I think we'll probably need to make a decision closer to the opening date here, depending on how we do locally here over the next few days or weeks. But if you ask my personal opinion, and this does not necessarily have to be the state's opinion or my employer's opinion, I think schools probably should open because, you know, we have to take care of kids' education.
Perfect. We'll have to leave it there. Thank you, Dr. Avish Nagpal, Sanford Health Infectious Disease Physician on WZFG, Dilworth, Fargo, Moorhead, USA. It's 9 o'clock.